Tastemakers Talks, a podcast discussing how to break into the fashion industry, a place where we champion the Irish voice and inspire the next generation. My name is Tori Cassidy. I'm the founder and editor of Tastemakers, and I'll be your host. In this episode, we chat to the absolutely beautiful Kelly Horgan. Like, what a stunning woman. She's one of Ireland's leading models, and she's just so down to earth. She was an absolute pleasure to chat to, and we talk about how she first got scouted when she was really young, how she then got scouted again when she was about 15, her move to London, the pressures of London, moving home and forging a career in Ireland, and how she's also forging a career in Milan, working in a couple of different cities, and how they compare to working in Ireland. And she offers her advice on how you can become a model too. And yeah, we've covered it all. It's a really good episode. So keep on listening to find out how Kelly broke into the fashion industry.
I mean, if we just start right at the beginning then, like when you first realised maybe you wanted to get in the industry, or whether you even realised it at all, and how it kind of, what was your first approach essentially of becoming a model and being in the industry?
So modeling was never something that was on my radar. I wasn't one of those girls who, you know, when they were little was pretending to be a model or anything like that. Was never into it. I liked America's Next Top Model because that was kind of like the thing, but I never associated that with something that I would ever do. Mm-hmm. And then I suppose when I was like 13, I was like quite tall for my age and that kind of thing. And people started to kind of point it out. And then just an aunt of mine, she would be like mad into that kind of thing, like loves fashion and magazines and things. And I suppose she just kind of saw it in me. And she was like, come on, we'll, like, there wouldn't be a huge age gap between us. So like, we'd be quite close. And she was like, we'll go to an agency and we'll see and put you forward for it. So I went, I think I was 13, so I was very young. And I went to one of the big agencies in Dublin and they signed me, but they had kind of said, look, you're very young, so it'll be more like acting and that kind of thing, which yeah. At the time I wasn't hugely interested in. So it kind of just fell flat there and nothing really ever happened. And then a couple of years later, when I was 15, another agency spotted me on the street and asked me to come in for like an open casting. So I did that just shortly. I think it was like maybe 2 weeks after my 15th birthday, and she signed me then. And then it all kind of just kicked off from there. I started doing test shoots, which for anyone who doesn't know are, you know, unpaid. It could be like a young photographer or someone who's starting out as well. So it's just kind of bouncing off each other and testing. So I did a couple of things like that. And then, yeah, actual jobs kind of started to roll in. So I was in transition year then, and that kind of gave me a good year to play around with it. And it kind of just grew from there. Mm. So it was good.
So how was it being approached then to obviously being scouted on the street? It must have been kind of like, whoa, you know?
Yeah, it was definitely weird. I mean, it's obviously a flattering thing, you know. Yeah, you know, modeling is seen as something that's very glamorous and that type of thing. So for somebody in that industry to approach you and think that you could be involved is great. So yeah, I went to the agency with my dad, and they actually, when we arrived, I think it was like an intern was working there at the time, and they thought it was my dad who was going in for the casting. They were like, they completely overlooked me, like I was invisible. And they were like, hi, are you here for the open casting? My dad was delighted with himself. He still talks about it. He's like, do you remember that time? I'm like, okay. But yeah, it was a weird experience. But yeah, when you're 15, like it's quite cool. Like I was like, ooh, modeling. Like I kind of thought it was cooler than it is type of thing. But yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. And did you have any mentors at the beginning then who like was like you really looked up to, or like someone that was like helping you navigate the industry?
No, not at all. As I said, like modeling was never really on my radar. And even like it kind of became an interest to me the first time when, like, as I said, when I was 13, but I never really looked into it too much. It wasn't like I then became obsessed with Irish models or modeling. You know, I didn't really think about it too much. So no, there was no real mentor, and I wasn't that interested in modeling, like in other models. Like there was no Instagram or anything like that at the time. So like it would have only been like Wikipedia, maybe, you know, Roz Purcell or those big girls that, like, I don't know, it just wasn't really an interest to me. So I kind of navigated it myself. I don't really know what it's like for models starting out now, whether they get that kind of mentor experience, whether they get more classes or they learn how to do things. I think it's probably the same as when I started, that you do the test shoots and you kind of just learn as you go. To be honest, I think that's probably the best way to learn, because you do need your own kind of style and stamp on it. So I think you're better off just learning in your bedroom, looking in the mirror kind of thing.
Yeah. And is that how you started out then? Because obviously when you're first beginning and like there's a camera and millions of people staring at you, it can be obviously quite daunting. So like, how did you approach, like, because obviously your first test shoot, you're probably like standing there like terrified, you know, but then after a while you're like so fine. So how did you kind of learn to become confident in front of the camera?
My agent at the time had said, like, go home, look in the mirror, like, I know it sounds embarrassing, but just know all your angles and just like practice pretending to pose in the mirror. So that's what I did. I just went home and I honestly every day would just look at myself. I'd always try on different types of makeup and see what suited me and see like what I had to do to make certain looks suit my look. And then, like, you know, catwalking, I would literally just set up like a big long stretch in my kitchen or my hallway and just pretend like I was walking like on a runway and just practice like that. And then I suppose then when I would be on jobs with other girls, you'd be watching them and seeing, but I never really thought of it as like a mentoring kind of thing. Just be like, oh, that's cool, I'm gonna try that. It wasn't like you were assigned to one particular person, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you kind of just winged it, as we all do.
Yeah. And I think because I was so young, like, I think if I was to start something new now, I'd probably take it a bit more seriously and maybe do that research. But because I was only 15, I was kind of just like, this is so cool, this is so fun. Like, I just kind of went with it.
Yeah, being naive sometimes is such a blessing, isn't it?
Oh my God, yeah, totally. Well, I was really, really shy, like, super shy. My mom came with me probably to my first one or two jobs. Because like I just couldn't bear to go in on my own. I was so shy. So that wasn't good. It was nerve-wracking going into those type of things. So I kind of in that way wish I was that bit older. But then I don't know, maybe it was just modeling that brought me out of my shell. Like I probably would have never really gotten that confidence if I hadn't modeled. So yeah, it was good in that sense.
And do you remember who your first ever client was and how that went?
My first ever like paid job was for the Evening Herald, and it was a sports shoot. And I still have it somewhere. It was just like I have the tear of the newspaper. And when I look back, like, oh my God, it's so embarrassing. It's like, I was so stiff. Oh, everything about it was just awful. And to be honest, it's kind of a blur. Like, I don't really remember the day as such. I remember where it was and everything, and I remember going to it, but the actual shoot itself is a blur. Like, I can't remember. I think I just mentally blocked it out in my mind because I don't remember really enjoying it or anything.
Yeah.
Photos are awful. Oh my God, if you saw them, you'd be like, what? So bad. But yeah, that was my first like official job.
Mm-hmm. And was it Andrea Roche that you were assigned to in the beginning?
No, so I was originally assigned to Rebecca Morgan. And I was with her for 6 years. She's a brilliant agent. She still has like amazing girls on her books. But after 6 years, I didn't go looking for another agency. Actually, Andrea approached me, and I'd met her a couple of times at certain things, like events and stuff like that. I always just liked her and I liked her way. And I just thought that it might be good to, you know, change it up a bit after 6 years. And it was the best thing I ever did. She's an amazing agent. She's so good. She has such a vast amount of clients. So yeah, it wasn't like anything that I went to like seek out, you know, change an agency. But when I did, it was brilliant.
And you're also signed to an agency, a Milan-based agency as well.
Yeah.
So how did
that go? So that only happened about a year and a half ago. They had kind of approached me a couple of times, or approached my agent here and wanted me to go over, but I had been to London in the past when I was younger, and I didn't have a good experience. It was a great experience, but it wasn't something that I ever really wanted to do again. It was very intense and very hard mentally. So when Major from Milan contacted, I was kind of just like always putting it off, like, well, I don't know, I'm not sure. And then something clicked with me that I was just like, why am I not doing this? Like, I should just go. Like, what's the big deal? Like, I don't ever want to regret it. So I went over there last January. And I stayed for a month and I loved it. It was great. And the work is so good over there. And then last year, I kind of just went back and forth like every month and did jobs, and it was brilliant. Yeah, it was really good. It's a completely different market to here and London. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I've learned from traveling. Like, you have to find your market. There's just, they're very different. So Milan really suited me in that sense.
Mm. So you said that you were working in London for quite a while. Was it just like chaotic energy there? Like, what was...
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I obviously, I live in London and I come home as much as I can because I get quite overwhelmed sometimes, and it's nice to have the balance. And that's why I always think I probably would never move to New York, because I'm like being close to home, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how does it differ from Ireland and Milan then?
It's, as you said, it's just chaotic. Like, there's so many girls. I went there when I just turned 18 and I'd been modeling for like 3 years at that stage. And I felt like I kind of knew myself as a model here, and I felt confident to go over, but the scale is just so different to here that, like, it was such a shock to my system. Like, here you'd go to a casting, especially back in like 10 years ago, nearly, it was when I started modeling. There could be like 3 or 4 girls there, you know, at a casting. It wouldn't be that many, whereas you'd rock up and there could be like 100, 200 girls in a queue. And these are girls that are from all over the world. Some of them are like 14, 15, tiny little things, absolutely amazing looking, so tall. And you're just standing there like, oh my God, why am I here? Like, you just really doubt yourself. You really get that, you know, imposter syndrome where you're just like, oh, I feel so stupid. So that was a big thing for me, like comparing myself to other girls. And then just the pressure from the agents, like, they want you to be so tiny, tiny, tiny. And I would have thought that I had the measurements. Like, when I went over, I was 18, like, I was tiny, but yet they were like, no, you need to be smaller, smaller. And it just got way too much. Like, the pressure was just immense. It was crazy.
No, that's horrible.
So, yeah, that's kind of what led me to leave. Our rent was up, like, we had to pay our, because we were so young. I went over with my boyfriend at the time, my boyfriend still, but yeah, we went over together and we had like a 6 month lease. And when the lease was up, I kind of was half interested to stay, but it was kind of a good reason to leave that pressure as well. I was kind of happy that I was like, okay, that's over now, because it was a lot.
Oh, the rent is so expensive, isn't it? Like, I can't. I know. Like, it's mental. And then for anybody who might not know, like, what is a casting and how do they go about?
So casting would be if a job is going ahead, let's say there's a campaign for a jewellery shoot next week, and they want a girl who has dark hair, dark eyes, or sometimes they don't have those criteria, they just want to see everyone. So they want to see as many girls as possible to see who would fit what they, like, the idea that they have. So it's like an audition. So you go in and sometimes you might try on a few things, or they might just take a couple of pictures, or they look through your portfolio, and that's how they choose who gets the job. So there wouldn't be a huge amount of castings here, so it wasn't something that I was majorly used to, because there's not that many girls here and the industry is so small that everyone knows each other. So, like, a lot of jobs would be just based off, oh yeah, I know Kelly, yeah, we've worked together before, I'll book her. Whereas over there, they have such a huge, like, pool of options that they just see like 100, 200 girls, and that's how they make their decision.
So do you know if someone is looking to start out as a model then in Ireland, and like most people I have spoken to have explained that, like, the industry is so small that everything just kind of works on recommendation here. But if someone is obviously quite young and has not started out and wants to get into modelling and doesn't really know how to approach agencies or whatever, like, how would you recommend they step into the industry that is essentially so small, you know?
So the best thing to do is to get somebody to take some photos, obviously. So always wear like something simple, like black jeans and like a black tank top or something like that. Minimal to no makeup and natural hair. Get them to take a long, like a full length picture, some close up, some to the side, different angles. And then it's very easy, like, if you just Google modeling agencies in Dublin or wherever you are, if you're in Cork, whatever, like, just get all the emails. You know, I know Andrea's is something like models at Andrea Roach, it's always something like that. And then just express the interest. Hey, I want to model, here's some photos of me, here's my measurements, I'm however tall and I'm 16, and that's it. It's as simple as that. You just reach out, and if they're interested in your look, they'll probably want to meet you in person and see what your personality is like. And yeah, it is really that simple. And obviously that's not how I was signed in in Ireland, but that's how I was signed in London. I went around to loads of different agencies, and some of them said no, some of them said yes, and yeah, it is really that simple.
And how is that, obviously, because it's very easy to get, I think, quite bogged down when you have to deal with rejection or whatever, but like that happens in every industry, no matter whether it's modeling or just me trying to get a job after graduation, God forbid. Like, how do you deal with that then, and how do you like not take it necessarily personally and just think, okay, it's not like a knockback, it's just like one door closed, another opens, essentially?
Yeah, like that can be hard, especially if like you have your heart set on a certain job, or you've gone to a casting and you think you've done really well, and you feel like, oh my God, I think they liked me, like I think I got that job, and then your friend got it, or somebody, you're kind of like, oh. Or if it's somebody who looks completely different to you, or worse, if they look actually similar to you, and you're kind of like, what do they have that I don't have? But there's really no way of knowing how to handle it. It's just time. Like, I've been rejected so many times, and I think it gets easier over time. Like I was saying at the start there, that I used to compare myself a lot to other girls, whereas now I never do that. It's just becoming like in my nature that I don't, it's just not something I ever do. And I think you need to, yeah, just try and learn as best you can not to let that stop you, because it's never personal. It is never personal, unless you go in there and you act like a diva and a wagon. Obviously, then they're probably like, ah, here, I'm not booking her. Like, she's just going to be a nightmare on the day. Then you can take it personally. But looks-wise, like, they, more often than not, they have a really particular look in their head. Like I said, like, we want short hair. You know, I might lose out on a job because I have long, or I have short hair and I want long hair. You know, something like that. And then you have to just really look at it like, look, I just wasn't, you know, I wasn't what they wanted. And just not take it personally. I wish I could give you an easier answer or something that, you know, helps girls more, but there's nothing really.
It's one of them, isn't it? It takes time. Like, thick skin, yeah.
Totally, yeah.
And then obviously throughout your career in modeling as well, you've built up like quite a following on social media. Do you think that social media, like, is a part of the job, or are those two things separate for you?
I don't know. I've had this conversation a lot with other girls, and you know, some people are under the impression that they would lose out on work because of their following. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, especially in Ireland. Whatever about London, they're very into followings and things like that. Yeah. I think they do go hand in hand. Like, if you have some kind of presence or that kind of thing, you might be in the forefront of people's minds more because they see you more. But I don't think, you know, if a girl has 2,000 followers or 200,000 followers, that the girl less is going to not get the job here, mm-hmm. if they have the right look. I just don't think that's how it works here. But I definitely think it helps to have some kind of social media following, or, you know, if some people are posting, let's say, I like makeup and I post my makeup looks and things like that, and that helped me get a lot of jobs where maybe they couldn't afford a makeup artist, and they kind of think, well, she might be able to do her makeup.
Yeah.
That kind of thing definitely helps. But in terms of getting like jobs on Instagram, being a model definitely helps that, I think, because mm-hmm. I don't think I would have really, like, influencing or that Instagram kind of thing would have never been something that I wanted to do, and still isn't something that I necessarily pursue. I just kind of go along with it, but I wouldn't have done that if it wasn't for the modeling.
Yeah, for sure. I am loving the house content though, by the way, I have to say.
We have nothing else to do because we can't. It's so annoying, and everyone is always like, more house stuff. I'm like, I don't have any money to buy anything.
Yeah, we have to be so careful at the minute. Like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
And I know for a while you had like a digital agency and you worked on branding and stuff. Is that something that you still do?
No. So I went through a stage of kind of thinking like, oh, is modeling really something that I want to do? Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends were finishing college and, you know, like, they were getting their degrees and things like that. And I was kind of like, oh my God, what have I got to show for myself other than modeling? And I kind of really looked down on myself and like the industry at that time. I've completely changed now, but at the time I was just kind of like, I think people were actually saying it to me a lot. They were always like, what's your plan B? And, you know, like, when are you going to go back to college? And it got in on my head, and I was kind of like, Jesus, what I'm doing maybe isn't like what people see as successful or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's when I decided to do an internship. I'd actually done the online, like a short version of your course that you're doing.
Okay.
Journalism. And I really liked it. And then I went on to do fashion marketing again online. So I got an internship in an agency in Dublin, and it kind of just went from there. But I didn't love, because I'd never really worked for anyone else. Like, I had had the odd job in Kildare Village and that when I was a teenager, but I'd never like properly worked for someone else. I've always been self-employed, so I could always, you know, choose my own hours and do what I wanted to do. So I really didn't like that, working for someone else. It was hard for me to adjust. So that's how I kind of set up my own little company. And I did that for about a year and a half, and I had a few clients and I did enjoy it. But I don't know, for me, modeling is always like a blessing and a curse, because if you're not fully into it, you miss out on things.
Yeah.
So I never really wanted to stray too far from it, and that's why I kind of felt like I didn't have enough time for modeling anymore, and I did want to give it my full go because I love it. It is my passion.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of ended that stage of my life, and I don't think I'd ever go back to it. It's just, it's not in me to, I don't know whether it's an academic thing. Like, I'm not really that, not that I'm not that way inclined, but I'm more creative, and I just like modeling and want to do that for as long as possible.
For sure. And I think such a stigma around creative jobs and just anything in this kind of line of work, and that's another reason why I wanted to start Tastemakers, is to prove to people that yes, you can pay your bills with these kind of jobs. Like, you can.
The amount of people who ask me that, like, oh, and can you live a good life, or can you pay your bills? I'm like, yeah. And you wouldn't ask anyone else.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, it's bizarre, and they feel like, just because it's a kind of unusual job, that they can ask personal questions like that. I always find it so odd, but
yeah,
I hate that.
There's actually another article that I'm currently writing for Tastemakers, and it's tied in with the release of Legally Blonde 3.
There was one.
Yeah, and apparently actually Reese, I think it's going to be put on a hold now, and it's not going to come out as it was meant to, because obviously box offices aren't open.
Yeah.
But the article that I'm tying around it is like, when people are underestimated, or because obviously, you know, she goes to court and she wins the case or whatever, and how they're underestimated and like how you prove them wrong. So say like, you're in school and you're sitting in front of a guidance counselor and you're talking about doing fashion, they're like, oh no, a business degree is better, like, you know. And how do you recommend that, like you're saying, that people ask you those questions, and how do you recommend that people like overcome that and be like, no, actually, like, I am doing well, like, this is a normal thing.
I think you just have to be like very stable in what you want, because I've experienced being strayed from like my own dreams, if you want to call it, and it didn't work out. I mean, I did something because I thought it was the right thing to do, you know, I got the normal job or the real job, as people say, and it didn't work out. I mean, I didn't enjoy it, I wasn't happy, I wasn't making the same money I make for modeling. So yeah, I suppose just, you know, be strong in what you want to do. And yeah, like I would highly agree, like there's so many people, especially models and makeup artists and stylists, who are so undervalued, and people just don't see how like intelligent these people are. Like, if you sit on a set and just listen to how creative people are, and you know, people are having normal conversations, we don't sit there talking about how gorgeous that cover of Vogue is, you know. People are talking about normal things. And these people are intelligent, and they're business people. Like, models are self-employed, we're business people who make decisions based on, you know, the economy or what, like, what's going on. We have, you know, we're clever people. And I think that's really unfair, that stigma is so, it's definitely still there. Like, so many people say to me, are you just a model, or do you have another job?
And I'm kind of like, just, what do you mean?
And it annoys me so much, and it upsets me as well, because you know, if people don't value your work, and like, modeling is a very physical work as well, and although maybe you do have some jobs where it could be just a half day and you're just getting your makeup done, and it is easy, but you definitely have jobs where it's hard physical work. And like I said, you're making decisions. Am I going to do that job, or will that tie me down and I can't do this job? Like, you're making constant business decisions that will affect your future. So yeah, I think, going back to your question, you just have to be sure in yourself that this is what I want to do, and I think I can make a future and a living from it. So yeah, not listen to other people's silly opinions.
And then, has there been a real wow moment for you in your career where you're like, oh my God, this is why I do what I do?
Yeah, I suppose, like, there's definitely been a few, not all of them I can probably remember, but I've definitely been on some sets where I've been like, oh my God, I love this. Like, last year I did a TV ad in Milan for, you know, Barilla Pasta. Like, it was so unglamorous. It's like literally like a box of pasta.
Yeah.
But I loved it. It was the biggest set I'd ever been on. It was huge. I didn't know what was going on because everyone was speaking Italian, but I was just sitting there like taking it all in, and I was texting my mom like, oh my God, I love this. It was just, it's so interesting. I love working with food. Anything, like I've done a couple of food ads, and like, it's so interesting, the food's diving. And also I was just in my element. Like, I loved it. Never saw the ad. I've never seen it to this day, but just the experience was a real like, oh, I love this. And then I suppose the other one that like more people will probably relate to why it was like a standout moment would be when I was in London. I was 18 and I was the face of, it was a big campaign for Boohoo. And Boohoo would have been like the big thing. Like, there was no Misguided or any of those. Like, it was like the first big online retailer at the time. And it was cool. Like, loads of my friends had seen it and they were texting me, and, you know, people couldn't believe, because I'd gone to London and I kind of lost touch with a lot of people from school. Mm. And then people were seeing that, and it was kind of like the first time I'd really been recognized doing something big. So that was really good. But I think actually that I'm thinking about it now, my biggest achievement was the first time I shot Kiss magazine. That was like,
yes, I love it.
Blowing to me. Oh my God. I read it like religiously. Same. I loved that magazine. And then I think I was in school when I got told that I was doing an editorial for them, and I could not believe it. It was like birthdays, every Christmas, everything just rolled into one. Oh, I just had a ball. It was the best thing ever. And yeah, it was just, I couldn't believe it. It was like I was doing a cover of Vogue. Like, that was the equivalent of Vogue for me at the time. Kiss magazine was like amazing. So yeah, those kind of three things probably. There's definitely been times where I've worked, like, I worked with Charlotte Tilbury, she did my makeup, like all those little things. You know, if I really sat and thought about it, there's definitely loads, but they kind of all just blend into one, to be honest.
Hmm. And what's your favourite type of modelling then? Is it walking? Is it shooting? Is it like more so like kind of almost video acting?
My favorite is definitely beauty. So like anything beauty shoots, like campaigns, videos, anything of just like my face. Like, I think that's kind of where my, I guess, like my talent or like that kind of thing lies. That's where my, yeah, I'm just kind of best at that type of thing. I love shooting beauty. I love makeup. So if ever I'm doing a shoot where, like, you know, the whole day is based on makeup, I love anything like that. Yeah. So there's not a huge amount of that type of work here. Like, I, like, my work here would be very balanced. Like, I do loads of different types of things and it'd all be fairly even. Mm-hmm. But when I go to Milan, I mostly do beauty because I'm very commercial. So yeah, I love anything like that. Big campaigns, editorials, anything like that is, yeah, heaven for me.
So what does an average week look like for you then outside of quarantine? Obviously, I know it would be like completely sporadic, but like as a model, what is it? Do you have like an admin day? Do you have, you know what I mean?
No, I'm going to really annoy you now and just say there is no such thing as an average week. I know that's not like typical, but like,
fair enough.
It could be, I could have two jobs a day for 7 days in a row. I could have one job and then nothing for a week. I could, you know, it's just, it's so random. But like the bulk of my work, like I do a lot of Ireland AM. So like I could have 2-3 Ireland AMs in a week. And then like e-com, so like shooting for online retailers. So it could be Dunnes, anything like that. So I probably have one or two of those kind of shoots usually, like on a good week. But then it could be anything. Like, you could be doing a big show for, you know, I don't know, Brent Thomas, something like that, or Louise Kennedy. You know, it just depends on the time of the year as well. Like, March, April would be good for shows. And then you might, like, this time of the year would be kind of random stuff. And then September, again, you go back into shows. So yeah, it depends on the time of the year. But there's no average week. Literally, it could be anything.
What do you hope for your future then as a model?
I don't know. I think when you work freelance or, you know, anything creative, it's very hard to look into the future. And yeah, you can definitely have goals or dreams or things that you'd like to achieve. But I think it's better to live in the moment and just kind of, well, for me anyway, I just prefer to like take it as it comes, because you can be very disappointed if you have like, you know, a week or two that are quiet. You're kind of like, oh, everyone hates me, or nobody's going to book me again, my career is over. And then the next week you're flying out the door. So for me, I find it better just to like work day, just take it as it comes. But if I do look at like a grander picture of things I'd like to achieve, I'd probably like to get into television. It's kind of always something that I've been interested in. anytime I'm in Ireland AM and I'm like, I can see the auto cue, I'm always pretending in my head that I'm reading it and things like that. Or, you know, when Exposé was out, that was always something that I loved. Glenda Gilson, her career would be something that I would like for myself. I can see myself going down that kind of route. And yeah, I'd always kind of admired the way she kept her modeling but kind of intertwined a bit of television and then built that up. So I think if I was able to map it out now and know for sure what was going to happen, I'd kind of base it around what she did. Yeah, fingers crossed something like that happens for me.
I'm sure it will. And hopefully. Then when you're obviously like getting jobs and whatever, do you ever like reach out to brands and are like I love this brand, like I'd love to work for you? And of course I'm sure people reach out to you as well, but do you ever like do a bit of reaching out yourself
for Instagram or modeling?
Both.
Modeling, no, I never really do that, because it's not like I manage my own career, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah. Everything goes through my agency. So I'd never reach out to anyone and tell them I wanted to like be the face of their brand or anything like that. Occasionally I have reached out to people for Instagram work, not hugely. And to be honest, I don't think, for me anyway, it works better like organically if they just see you. I think if you're like banging on people's doors, although that can be very like efficient as well, it didn't really work as well for me. I find that it's just better for people to see you and that, you know, the brand thinks you're right for whatever they have at that time. So no, I kind of prefer just not to let things fall on my lap, but just let things happen as though they're meant to, not like crawling after people kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. And then just to wrap it up then, what would your advice be to anybody who is just starting out on the brink of their career, whether it be modeling or just fashion? Obviously you would have worked with a lot of stylists and makeup and stuff. What advice would you give to them and what rookie mistakes would you tell them to avoid?
I think advice wise, try and get as much experience as possible. I mean, if you're looking to get into modeling, like, experience doesn't have to be big photo shoots. It can literally be like your best friend taking pictures of you or your mom taking a few pictures on her iPhone. Like, just anything that makes you a bit more comfortable in front of the camera. Obviously, if you can organize some shoots, brilliant. Like if you know photographers, or if you see a photographer that you like that is maybe up and coming and you can DM them and, you know, tell them that you want to model and if there's any chance of shooting, something like that is brilliant. Another thing I always tell people, and I think I'd said at the start of the conversation, that I used to always do like different types of makeup on myself, because sometimes like I found when I was at shoots that like they do like a really like thick eyeliner or a red lip or something and it wouldn't be something that I'd be used to, and all of a sudden you'd get a bit shy and you're like, oh god, I don't know how to work this. So if there's anything like that, you know, do different types of makeup and learn how to angle your face in the mirror. Like if you, let's say, have small eyes and you're used to like looking this way, maybe you might want to look this way for certain, you know, makeup looks, little silly things like that, you know, just so that you're prepared for whatever is thrown at you, because literally you could do anything. Like I have done the most random things on jobs and castings, like just silly things. So just kind of try and experience as much as you can. And if you do get the chance to, you know, break into modeling and you're at the start of the career, enjoy it and don't take it too seriously. Like I said, like don't be crawling after things, like let it just happen organically and enjoy, you know, what comes your way, because it is it can be a very short-lived career. So, I mean, I've been lucky that I've been doing it 10 years, but it could end at any moment. So enjoy it while you can. And then mistakes wise, like, I mean, I'm sure I've made loads of mistakes. I've probably buried them at the back of my mind that I'm like, don't ever speak about that again. Just be prepared. Like I've often, not often, but like at the start of my career, like I would have gone to jobs not realizing that I needed certain things. Like, you know, you should have a kit of everything and anything that you can think of that might be used, every type of bra available, strapless, non-strapless, crossback, anything, because sometimes you could go to things and they're like, hi, where's your selection of shoes? And you're like, oh, I didn't bring any shoes, do you need shoes? And then the whole shoot is kind of like, not ruined, but they're like, oh my god, we thought you were bringing your shoes, that type of thing. So I've definitely experienced being unprepared and then embarrassed because of it. So that's probably my biggest lesson that I've learned over the years, just being like, oh god. And then don't do things you don't want to do. Not that I don't think there's majorly anything that I regret doing, but I've definitely heard of stories of girls who might have done something that they're like, oh, I wish I didn't do that job. I feel like it could affect my work with this client, or, you know, So just kind of know what you want to do and what you're comfortable with, and stick within those boundaries.
Yeah, for sure. That's mad that about the shoes thing, that they expected you to bring some, like, actually died, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, you should have everything with you, because you just never know. And it's always the time that you bring everything that nobody needs anything. And then the day that you're like, oh my God, I've left my bag at home, or, you know, I've left it in the car, and they're like, hi, can we see all your tops that you brought? And you're like, oh. So yeah, the most organized kit you can think of, like, even go as far as like overstepping what maybe, not a makeup artist, well, could be a makeup artist, or a stylist would bring, like pins. I'd always have a few pins in case the stylist can't find theirs. And I'm like, oh, you know, you always look professional if you say, oh, I have a few pins, or I have, you know, tape or a nude pair of shoes, you know, just always be prepared, or more prepared than you need to be, because, you know, you're never going to look bad doing something like that.
Oh yeah, of course not. Well, thank you so much. It's been
thank you.
I just want to say a huge thank you again to Kelly for talking to me for this episode. It was an absolute pleasure to chat to you, so thank you so much, Kelly. If you like this episode, it would be great if you could give it a like, maybe leave a comment, even subscribe if you're feeling absolutely generous. And thank you so much for listening, and we will see you in the next one. Bye.